الرحيم وبه نستعين وهو خير ناصر ومعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
If anybody could help to give a recap of our last night discussion, which was the battle of Jamal, because the events that took place after battle of Jamal will be discussed tonight. So if for those who were not present last night, they could benefit from the input of our brothers and sisters here. Bismillah. Anybody?
After Imam Ali was elected, Aisha was angry, and Imam Ali sent Imam Hassan and Ammar Yasir to Kufa, which was governed by Abu Musa Ash'ari. Talha Zubair marched to Basra from Mecca with soldiers, and Uthman bin Hanayf, who was the governor of Basra, tried to make peace with them, but they killed many of Imam Ali's supporters in Basra, and Imam Ali was angry. So he sends Imam Hassan and Ammar Yasir to Basra, and as Aisha is marching to Basra, the barking of dogs take place, which scares her. And Imam Ali wants to go to Syria to deal with Muawiyah, but there's too many rebels in Mecca, so he goes to Basra to deal with Aisha. And there he defeats Aisha and sends her back with respect.
Anything that would add to any? Anything that is important, do you think, should be added? Yes.
Yesterday we spoke about Umm al-Mu'mineen and Salma.
Mm-hmm.
It was correct that she was in the Medina and they were Aisha went to her to come, this was to come.
Right.
Also, there was Hafsa there.
Uh-huh.
She was ready to go with her, but her brother...
Abdullah ibn Umar, yeah, prevented from going. So now I think we'll start tonight the discussion of the 100-day battle, or the other name is the Battle of Siffin. The reason I put 100-day was it took about 100-day or less. But as a round figure, they say 100 days, you know. As we said earlier, that the conflict which was always there, with the Sasanian, which is post-Persian Empire, and post-Roman is the Byzantine, Empire, always there was a problem, and people in that area would always fight. And the people who are living in that area were used as mercenaries by the Byzantinians and by the Sasanis, to carry out their desire, their will. This was an ikhtilaf, in that area since BC, basically. As the year has been given in history, that this ikhtilaf existed right from, in the prehistoric time, from the time of 69 BC up until 629, So that is something to keep in mind, that really helps us to really analyze why people were ready to fight with each other. There were always an intense amount of pressure, the taxes were very high there. And the other thing that we find is there were a tribe or people called Qura. The people of Qura who lived in that area. And they became very handy to really fight the three self-proclaimed prophets. After the demise of the prophet, there were pockets of revolution and rebels who claimed themselves as prophets. One was Tulayha, Musailima and Saja, some names that they said, we are the Prophet after the Prophet, and they had and the first Khalifa have to put them right. I mean, they have to give a, there was a war, there was a battle, they fought, and they really uprooted this sort of self-proclaimed Prophet. And it was in that area as well. And the Qur'an, you know, they came very helpful. And Abu Bakr paid them stipends, paid them a lot compared to other soldiers, compared to other tribes. They used to get about 2 to 3,000 dinar, compared to other, they used to get 250 to 300. So when Uthman becomes the Khalifa, you know, he doesn't want to give this much, so he cut short the aid that was given to them. So they were upset, obviously, you know, with Uthman, and they also played a role in the murder of Uthman, and they were the Khawarij. You know, the Qur'an eventually ended up in being known as Khawarij. So Khawarij had hand in the murder of Uthman, and for them to join Imam Ali alayhi salam was something necessary, because Muawiyah wanted to take the revenge of Uthman, and if Muawiyah takes over the Khilafat, or he becomes, you know, he comes to power, you know, they will be grounded, you know, they will be killed. So they had to join Imam Ali alayhi salam, eventually, which they, you know, later on fought Imam Ali himself. But their expedition or their commitment to go with Imam Ali alayhi salam to Battle of Siffin was just purely to save, you know, themselves. And as they had the hand in killing of Uthman, for that very reason, you know, that financial reason and all that. And that's one. The other thing that you find, we said, is that sort of Syrians and the Iraqis, you know, the Syrians and that area, they always had that issue as well. And they were, you know, enemies of the Syrian side. And they joined Imam Ali alayhi salam. The wars that were fought were called Ridda. You know, if someone wants to know, during the time of Abu Bakr and Umar, that took place. Now, as we said, that Syria was giving trouble to accept the Khilafat of Imam Ali. Imam Ali was unanimously elected by the Ashab. You know, Ashab, not an Ashab who were, you know, who had no value, but you know, Ashab who were Rijal, you know, Ashab who were prominent, Ashab who were authorities, you know, who were sort of like strong Ashab. They accepted. Because it's very unfortunate that these Ashab, they had their own following as well. You know, they might not have sort of iman or belief in Imam Ali alayhi salam, but because, you know, Ibn Masud is paying allegiance to Imam Ali, all the students of Ibn Masud will say that, oh, okay, we believe our teacher and we will also pay, you know. And there were immense amount of ikhtilaf among Ashab themselves. Ibn Masud quotes this hadith, for example, Abdullah ibn Ka'ab quotes another hadith, different interpretations in regards to hadith. I mean, it was quite challenging, you know, the beginning of the Islamic, you know, Ummah and the Islamic sort of state was quite interesting, you know. Plus, you know, you have this tribalism and you know, personal attraction towards their tribe, towards their leaders, without any having sort of in-depth knowledge of things. I mean, there's so many things were there, you know. I mean, Islam, you know, it was not like, you know, like magic, you know, with Prophet, you know, just he had the magic wand and he kind of like did something and everybody accepted and they reached the daraja of Kamal in terms of their iman. I mean, the Battle of Tabuk itself is a clear example. The Surah Tawbah is a clear example that how they troubled the Prophet. I mean, Masjid al-Zirar is a clear example that they plotted, they planned the masjid. You know, they are making what? They are making masjid. You know, and they want to inaugurate, cut the ribbon of the masjid with the Prophet as well, right? So this is how the society was. This is how the Muslims were at that time. You know, during the lifetime of the Prophet, that's how they were. Imagine when it reached to the time where, you know, Imam Ali alayhi salam becomes the Khalifa. So we have to keep that in mind. And now here, Muawiyah rebelled. Muawiyah said, you know, Muawiyah openly rebelled against Imam Ali alayhi salam. You know, he said he will not accept him as the Khalifa. I mean, the pretext of revenge of the murder of third Khalifa was, it was just used later on, even before that, because once Imam Ali becomes the Khalifa, because Muawiyah was given Syria unquestionable. There was no question asked by the Khalifas. When the second Khalifa appointed, you know, Muawiyah I, as who was the son of Abu Sufyan, the older brother of Muawiyah, as the governor, after that, no question. Because the second Khalifa was of the understanding that as they are from the respectable of Quraysh, they have accepted Islam, something should be given to them. You know, that sort of understanding, you know, as a favor, you know, that. And Syria was not just Syria as of today, right? Syria, which is the old, Byzantine Empire. And they even crushed the whole sort of, they had the navy, they had the army, you know, Umar supported, the second Khalifa supported Muawiyah to the extent, and they conquered and they expanded. And Syria was very vast, you know, Jordan included, Palestine included, parts of Egypt included, it went towards the Europe. So therefore it was a big empire, and Muawiyah was governor for the namesake. When the third Khalifa is pleading for help, that people wants to kill me, please send me some help, send me some troops, you know, the governor says, okay, I will send you some. And then he sent, you know, a group of soldiers, and asked them to be wait. Don't leave, don't enter Medina till I give you a green light. Till when the murder of Uthman, third Khalifa, comes, then he said, okay, now you have to come back, you know, it's okay. So, if he is the governor of the third Khalifa, you know, who is Khalifa of the Rashidun, you know, well-respected Khalifa, you know, then when he is pleading for help, people are trying to murder and kill him, why he did not come to the aid? You know, these are the very technical and important questions that we need to ask, right? So here he rejected completely, and then the murder of his third Khalifa was added, you know, as a catalyst to really go against Imam Ali alayhi salam, which was very clear. Obviously, you know, the first fitna, the Jamal, which they were proven wrong. You know, the Ummul Mumineen is proven wrong, that she took that, you know, raised the arms against, in just for the namesake, just for the take, you know, sake of seeking revenge of the murder of Khalifa. They've been defeated, they've been put wrong, they've been put in their place. Now, what is this? Is once again they're using the same thing. So, because he believed that he is not going to give, you know, Syria with any sort of reason. You know, it's his and it belongs to him, and he will be the ruler and he will be the king. And because of the strong support he had, you know, of the Syrians and the way he governed, he did not allow anybody going against his ideology, against his understanding, traditions, riwayat, in the praise of them. When Abu Zar, Daraje, ninth level of Iman, Hazrat Abu Zar, he kicked him out from Syria because he was very, you know, vocal against the acts what Muawiyah was committing, you know. And he said, I'm not gonna be like how the third Khalifa is. You know, if there is one person who is against my ideology, I'll kick him out. I don't want him near. Look what they have done to the third Khalifa. They have become bloodthirsty of the third Khalifa. I'm not going to allow that to happen in my reign, in my empire, so to speak. And he kicked him out, the Sahabi of Rasulullah. So therefore, he thought that he is powerful and he will easily defeat Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he took that stand. And he had Roman supporters, non-Muslims, in his empire. If he's a governor of Muslim, Ummah is, under the umbrella of the Khulafa'i Rashidun, how come he appointed non-Muslim, ministers in his cabinet? It was really John, apparently, his name is, who advised Yazid that you should appoint Ibn Ziyad as the governor of Kufa when Imam Hussein came, right? So there was already support, not only just support in the sense where that they had post, they had high positions in his empire. When they have high positions, it brings money, it brings men, it brings soldiers. And look how much of propaganda in Syria against Imam Ali alayhi salam, right? The animosity which he had against Imam Ali alayhi salam was very open because of what Imam Ali have killed the relatives in Badr, in Uhud. He openly mentions that. Right, and a Khalifa who is the fourth Khalifa, who is the son-in-law of the Prophet, who is so pious, for the people of Medina and for the Islamic Ummah, people in Syria doesn't know anything about him. They are in full support of, the governor or the king of Syria. So it clearly shows that how strong he was, and he said that with this I'm going to defeat him. And he outnumbered as well in terms of when they were together, to when they were ready and to fight. The counts that have given is Imam Ali alayhi salam had about 80,000 troops, soldiers supporting him, 70 companions from Badr, 70 companions from Hudaybiyah, 400 prominent Muhajir and Ansar were in support of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We are talking about Oweis Qarani, we are talking about Malik Ashtar, we are talking about Abdullah ibn Masud, those people who are strong, Abdullah ibn Abbas, we are talking about them. And Muawiyah did not even let the people in Medina stay in peace. As he saw that, this is going to happen, he started his sort of political maneuvering. He started writing letters to those who were appointed during the reign of second Khalifa as, chieftains, as leaders, as had some sort of positions in the society. And one of them was Abdullah ibn Abbas, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He said Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was the famous companion. When he found out he did not pay allegiance, when Abdullah ibn Abbas did not pay allegiance to Imam Ali alayhi salam, he wrote them. He did the fitna. Come to Syria, come in my support. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas says, no way. I know that he is on haq and he is right. But still he stayed home, he did not give bayah. That is his own sort of, complicated mind he had. So therefore here, Abdullah ibn Umar went to Syria. Now some of the reports say that Abdullah ibn Umar was also part of the murder of the third Khalifa. But how authentic that is still investigated. He was, and that was one of the reason he kind of went towards went to Muawiyah because Imam Ali alayhi salam said that I will avenge. I will really make, that's my priority to do so if you're alive. A question was asked that how much time it took from Battle of Jamal to the Battle of Siffin. It was about 4 months, period between the first fitna and the second fitna. You know, it's the second battle. So it took about 4 months for Imam Ali to really prepare. You know, he had to change governors. He had to send, you know, basically invite people, because we are talking about Syria here. You know, we are talking about Mavia. It's not a small battle like Jamal, you know, that they have to fight. You know, it's like a whole empire that Imam Ali have to fight. And as the amount of soldiers, as we were saying, you know, Imam Ali had 80,000 and Mavia had 120,000. You know, yes.
What was creating the urgent need to confront Muawiyah? Like, why couldn't he doesn't want to get fair, don't get fair. You know, like, he seemed to have this diplomatic approach with others, where, like, he didn't force them to necessarily give allegiance. But with Muawiyah, he seemed to confront him. What was the difference?
Yes, those who were having a position, like they were governors, Imam Ali Aisam basically azal them, you know, nullified their rule. They brought them. They say he appointed new person, and he wanted to appoint Abdullah ibn Abbas as the governor of Sham, of Syria, and he knew from the very beginning the fitna, you know, the ikhtilaf that was there and how he was. So he really have to, as he has already started gathering support, as he is not really surrendering to Imam Ali alayhi salam, who is the Khalifa, and it was quite important, you know. Yeah, and you know, because it was detrimental to Islam, not just his Khilafat is Khilafat of Muslimin, of all Muslims. Yes.
One more thing, like Imam Ali used to say that if that's the reason why he stand up against him, right?
All went in that direction. I mean, it was the question of Islam. It was the question of zulm. It was the question of adalat. People advise him. In Medina, he said, leave Sham to him. You know, just give him what he asked. He said, no, you know, that's not justice. That's against Adalat. And he also wrote a letter. Say, give Sham to me, I have nothing to do with you. He said, no. You know, he wants to, you know, establish. Because he is responsible of, he's a Khalifa of Muslims, right? He has to adhere to Adalat. And he has promised before taking, I have nothing to do with it. You know, I don't want Khilafat. You know, leave me alone. But if you want, you know, I will act according to the Quran and the Sunnah and Adalat. I'm not going to follow because, oh, Muawiyah is from the Quraysh, let's give him the governance of Syria as the second Khalifa gave. Oh, he's, you know, Marwan is also, you know, my son-in-law, let him be my, you know, advisory of the state. And he was related to Muawiyah as well. That's, it's all well plotted, you know, his he was very cunning in terms of his policies and politics, how he dealt. Very smart, very shrewd. So therefore, Imam Ali's priority was Islam. Imam Ali's priority was justice. Imam Ali's priority was against oppression. You know? And he cannot let that go, because on that basis he has come to power. You know, and they said that we will support you. Yes.
One more thing, like after listening to what you just mentioning that Imam Ali stand up against Muawiyah because of the reasons, then what is our responsibility? Don't you think that if we see oppression, we should be raising our voices against it? Any sort of oppression? You mean oppression in the school, maybe oppression in Islamic centers, oppression in the local places?
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
I mean, you need that leadership. You need that clarity. Al-haq wa ma'al ali wa al-ali wa ma'al haq. I mean, we don't have a hadith saying that al-trusti is ma'al haq wa haqul ma'al trustees, you know. So you need that leadership, obviously. So once that is deterred, once you see that, yes, of course, you know, we have to support the leadership. Now, supporting that leadership once again have its own method, have its own way. You know, that Amar bil Maruf Nahi Anil Munkar, you know, what is the best way to do, you know. So that has its own, priorities, right? Yeah. Any more questions? Shall we move further? Inshallah. Yeah. One loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Yes. Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam marched towards Syria, towards the border of Syria, which was really Furat of today in Iraq, a place called Siffin. And prior to that, Imam had sent Malik Ashtar towards Mosul, because in Mosul that was a key town which they had needed the safe way, a path, safe passage to go, and also to gather support. And some of the reports says that the people in Mosul, they had inclination towards Mawiya because they were Osmani Madhab. They've been recorded as Osmani Madhab, meaning that they were strong supporters of the third Khalifa. And they were a bit rigid against Malik Ashtar. However, they surrendered to the desire of the Islamic State, of the fourth Khalifa. Now, before they reached, the army of Mawiya already conquered the Euphrates, the Furat, the river, and they camped there. And when the army of Imam Ali alayhi salam reached, they did not allow them to use the water. And this was a shock. This wasn't an Islamic way or Islamic approach. And finally, Imam Ali alayhi salam sent Malik Ashtar, Ammar Yasir, and they took over. It was in no time, basically. And once they started feeling the pinch or the thirst, they said, "Oh, we wish we should have given water to Imam Ali." Then they said, "Don't worry, Ali is not like that. We know. We will request." And Imam Ali alayhi salam agreed. However, people went against. Now, once again, see, Imam Ali alayhi salam took advice from the people, always. But when it comes to haq and batil, insaniyat, he just said, "No way." Whether even be they our enemies, water, they have the right. We will give them. This is how Imam Ali alayhi salam behaved. He could have said that, "Okay, we are on haq and we have the right." In order to defeat batil, in order to defeat, evil and kufr, any means is okay. The end will define, rectify the means, right? But Imam Ali salam said, "No, it could be, it should be given to them as well. It was provided to them." I mean, it took, there was a lot of negotiation. That's why the battle was so long between Imam Ali and Mawiya. Letters, messengers being sent. Plus, this was started in Zilhij, as they say, and Muharram approach, in which they don't, Muslims, they don't fight in the month of Muharram, but they camped there. It was very draining for everybody, because now they just finished the battle of Jamal, and now from Basra they are marching to to face about 210,000 odd people, to 120,000 people, and they have left their home, they have left their family members, 3 months, they are out there in the wilderness. The reason why it was delayed was because of that month which they did not fight, and the negotiations. Imam Ali did not want to blood be wasted, or blood be spill in the battle. He's tried his level best, but he kept on rejecting and emphasizing that he has the right and he will take revenge. Imam Ali did not start the battle, as he says that is karahat to begin the battle. They started the war. They were the one who started the war. Many things happened because it was a long battle. They start their fight, for example, Fajr. After Fajr, they will fight till midnight. Sometimes they fought at night. They will end, in Zuhr. Casualties, 25,000 supporters of Imam Ali alayhi salam. That's a huge number. Muawiyah side, 45,000. That's a huge number as well. 100 days of battle, fierce fight, intense, you know, fight, but so many casualties at the same time. With the shrewdness of Muawiyah as well, you know, he started, you know, bribing, which was a typical way of Muawiyah among the troops. Ash'as, who was one of the person who was brought down by Imam Ali alayhi salam of being a governor. So you have that, you know, right then and there, you know, you could tell that, you know, that sort of grudge against Imam Ali salam. But he came with in support to Imam Ali alayhi salam against Muawiyah. There are two reports. One is that this plan of raising the Quran was already coined and discussed by Muawiyah and Amr As, you know, who was the advisor to Muawiyah. And Ash'as, before this was announced that we want the hukum, we want the rule from the Quran, Ash'as, just before the night of the furious fight which they had, or which in which they started raising the Quran on the spears, he started, you know, this is, you know, a wrong battle. You know, this is not the way. You know, we have lost so many lives. You know, imagine your, you know, women and children who are suffering right now. So many have become, you know, orphans and widow, and we've been camping here and it's getting nowhere. This will kill all the Arabs. You know, this, the result of this battle is that everyone will be killed. You know, it seems that way. He kind of spoke, you know, and prior to that, you have all of these people not willing to fight. People came with, like we said last night, Abdullah ibn Masud, Katib of Wahi, Mufassir of Quran, great Sahabi, treasurer of Kufa during the time of Imam third Khalifa. He said, I will come with you, with my men, but we're not gonna, you know, camp with you together. We will go there and we'll decide, you know, who is on haq, and then we'll support, right? So you have already, the support of Imam Ali salam is in this fashion, right? You have Abu Musa Ash'ari, you know, who already did not pay allegiance, who was on the side of, you know, Ummul Mumineen, on the side of Talha and Zubair, on the side of the Basrans, when they fought Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now he is with Imam Ali alayhi salam eventually. You know, people like him, Ash'as, although Imam Ali had great companions with him, you know, and these companions, many of them became shaheed, like Ammar Yasir, you know, who became shaheed. Oweza Qarani, who became shaheed, who was with Imam Ali alayhi salam. All of these things are indicating and pointing out to that what's going on here. The question is that what are we really doing today? You know, we have to analyze. We really have to see where the haq lies. We have to support that. We should not shy away from supporting. You know, we are the people of intellect. We are the people of aql. We are the people, we've been asked in the Quran to do contemplate and think. When the history is open, and this massacre, this sort of innocent people being slain, the companions like Ammar Yasir, when he was fighting, it was mentioned that in the hadith, oh Ammar, your last drink will be milk. As Hazrat Ammar was fighting, there was no water. Somebody brought him, he was thirsty, they brought him milk. So he drinks that and then he remembers that, that's it. You know, the end have reached. And there was hadith which says that those who are on batil, those who are evil, those who are, you know, unjust, they will be the one who will kill the companion like Ammar. You know, they will be on batil. They were the murderers of Ammar Yasir will be, you know, the enemies of Islam. And it happened, but look how they twisted this. Amr As said, you know, don't worry, you know, who brought Ammar to the battle? It is Imam Ali who brought Ammar to the battle, so he is responsible of the death of Ammar, not us. You know, it is Imam Ali who brought. So that means Imam Ali is on batil. Everybody said, okay, yeah, you are right. We accept and let's keep on fighting. You know, so therefore, it was a lot of, clever moves from the side of the Romans, you know, from the side of the empire of Mavia, went in play to really twist the truth and deviate people. And eventually, when that last sort of, when they moved towards arbitration. Any questions here? Because we want to really finish this with arbitration and the result of it, because I think we might be running out of time as well. Anything that you want to add or ask, maybe, that I missed out? So, finally, as it was going out of hand, so many, you know, loss of life, so much of, you know, blood being wasted according to both sides, they said, we really got to do something, because Mavi also said that it's not easy. You know, we are not getting anywhere. So he created this fitna, along with the advice of Amr As, that let's raise the Quran on the spears and we will say that we had enough. And we want the Quran to rule. You know, we don't believe in him, we want the Quran to rule, basically. Whatever the Quran gives, hukm, order, you know, we will accept that. Just before a night, Malik Ashtar, Imam Ali alayhi salam, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and other companions, they said that tomorrow we'll have a strategy. And tomorrow is the last day. And mind you, Imam Ali alayhi salam assured them that we will be victorious before going, while he was there. You know, if someone who really believes him as the Khalifa, as the leader, they should be adhering to his insight, to his calculation. So he said, tomorrow, you know, it's finished. We'll make sure that it's done. And it was that. It was at the climax. They say that Malik Ashtar went to the tent of Mavia. He was that close. Just, you know, one strike of his will finish Mavia. This is Malik, who conquered, you know, who entered the fort, so to speak, you know, the safe haven, the seat where Mavia was. And he was ready to grab. And here, the signal for them to raise the Quran on the spears, Imam Ali alayhi salam was there among them. The Quran were raised in the spears. Asha said, yes, you know, we agree, that's enough. And here, the Khawarij are already upset. You know, the Ash'as and the supporters, Abu Musa Ash'ari, you know, the sort of loss of life, Abdullah ibn Masud supporters, the Hijazis, you know, they were about 20,000 who said that, yes, we want. I mean, 20,000 is a huge number. And Imam Ali said that it's over. You know, Malik Ashtar sends the message, it's over, we are winning. But they said, if you don't call Malik back, we're going to kill Imam Ali. Malik Ashtar said that, what do I do now? If I kill Mavia, which is a victory, but they are saying that they will kill Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, at the base, so to speak, you know. Then Malik returned back. You know, he had to basically come back. So a victory which was this close, just because of the stupidity and just because of the shrewd politics, propagation, lies. And Imam Ali said that, I know Mavia more than you guys. I know he will not comply to the Quran. I know who he is and what he is. He has no respect for the Quran. And as you know, all the hadith and traditions and the ashab and Imam Ali say, it's over now. But still they said, no, that's it. It took about a year and a half for the verdict to come out of the arbitration. That took a long period, you know. So this year and a half was nothing but lamenting and crying over 25,000, you know, 45,000 people being killed. You know, and after the arbitration, once again, Imam Ali alayhi salam tried to gather support for another battle with Muawiyah, but it didn't happen. Now let's talk about little bit about arbitration. They say that, well and good, you know, we agree for arbitration. Imam Ali said, fine, you know, if you guys are forcing me, that I have no choice, you know, I accept. You know, it was a question of life and death. It was a question of, you know, trying to see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. Now there's no choice what we can do now. So there he agreed, but he said that I want to appoint Abdullah ibn Abbas and Malik Ashtar as the arbitrator, you know, from our side. And the Khawarij, Ash'as, all these people say, no, you can't, because they are your staunch supporter. They support you. And we want someone who is neutral. The Khawarij said the same thing. You know, we want someone neutral. They say, okay, who is the right person? Then they say, Abu Musa Ash'ari. He is a very pious man. You know, he's very soft. You know, he respects Ummahatul Mu'mineen so much, you know, he went in support. So they said it's Abu Musa Ash'ari, we want him to be the supporter from our side, arbitrator from our side. From their side it was, they said that we want the most intelligent of all, you know, Amr-e-As, you know, to be the supporter. And there was a treaty signed between the two, and the treaty said that both will investigate, a free investigation of both sides. They will not be restricted. They will be allowed to travel freely in Syria. They will be allowed to travel freely in, you know, this side, Medina or the Khilafat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. They will adhere to the Quran, and if they cannot find clarity in it, they will rely upon the Sunnah of the Prophet. Nothing of their ijtihad will go into the verdict. And this treaty was signed between Muawiyah and, they said, Amirul Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Here Muawiyah said, what do you mean Amirul Mu'mineen? You know, if he was Amirul Mu'mineen, I wouldn't be fighting with him. Take this out. Then, you know, very typical of Sulh Hudaybiyah, where they say, Rasulullah, you know, take this Rasul out. You know, I don't believe it's Muhammad ibn Abdullah. It's not Rasul. We don't believe in that, him as Rasul. If it was, we wouldn't be fighting. Exactly the same. I mean, all of these things is a reflection. It's for people who have eyes to really see what's going on. You know, history, as they say, it repeats itself. Who's on haq and who's on batil? Who's using the same strategy? Who's behaving in the same fashion? Whether that be at that time or whether that be today in ISIS. The same typical behavior of beheading, of killing, of, you know, making slave of, you know, women and children, and ransom and money. Right? Very typical behavior that we see, these people who wants to establish Khilafat. They also wanted to establish Khilafat. The Muawiyah wanted to be the Khalifa, isn't it? So the same way, strike this out. Then Imam Ali alayhi salam says, well and good, do it. You know, it doesn't matter to me. You want to take it out. Then the Khawarij stood, what do you mean? You know, we will not take this out. I mean, then even some say that even Malik Ashtar was a bit annoyed, you know, was disappointed that why? You know, why are we so much sort of giving in a way? But later on Imam Ali said, you know, if I know that if I agree, then Malik will have no issues. They say that he is upset and others, no, he's not. I know him more. Anyway, that was striked out, and it was between Ali and Muawiyah, as it says, and the conditions were written, and an investigation was open. They sat, you know, with the Ashraf or with the tribal leaders to really come up with a verdict. And finally, that day comes in the month of Ramadan. You know, they all gathered once again, you know, the Muawiyahs and the Islamic Ummah, you know, those who supported the Imam Ali alayhi salam, the fourth Khalifa. Finally, you know, Amr-e-As and Abu Musa Ash'ari. Now they say, who will go first? You know, someone have to go and speak, right? Give the verdict. Then Amr-e-As said, MashaAllah, you are, you know, pious man. You know, I am Amr As, you know, I'm younger, I have, you know, it's better you are the Sahabi, and you've been respected by everybody and they know of your piety, you know. Then, you know, Abu Musa Ash'ari was like, oh, you know, sorry, okay, Basir, no problem, I will go, okay. You know, he was put in the sort of like put on the spot, and he agreed. He fell for that, all this, you know, charms of Amr As, and all this, you know, outward respect, which had, you know, hidden agendas. So he goes and he says that we have decided that Ali cannot be Khalifa, and we do not believe that he should be Khalifa. We don't want him to be the Khalifa. And the state will be left, you know, in the hands of the Shura, or I'm kind of like forgetting, if you remind me. And then he stepped down. Then Amr As went. Amr As went and he said, they have taken, he pointed out to people by taking the ring off, you know, we have taken Ali out of Khilafat and we have placed Muawiyah as the Khalifa, you know, that is the verdict that we have agreed. Then Abu Musa Ash'ari said, I never said that, you know, he said we don't believe Ali to be the Khalifa and we don't believe Muawiyah to be the Khalifa. But Amr As said that, look, oh people, what their side have just said. They don't believe Ali is rightful to be the Khalifa. You know, that's what they believe. But we say that yes, Ali is not rightful. They also believe and we also believe. Majority, right? They also believe and we also believe. But we believe that the rightful Khalifa is Muawiyah. Then Abu Musa Ash'ari started calling him, you're a dog, they started fighting each other. You know, it was a scene. It was very chaotic. It was a blunder. It was a joke. They fought with each other, you know, and then finally they were, kept aside. And Imam Ali alayhi salam said, I don't agree on this because it is not based on the Quran. It is not based on the Sunnah. And then the Khawarij stood up, that you are going against the arbitration. You are going against the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you haven't given us the war spoils in Jamal. You haven't, you know, you have striked your name as Amirul Mumineen out because you yourself don't believe to be Amirul Mumineen and Khalifa. You know, who gives you right to be the Khalifa? You yourself don't believe in. You know, and now you're going against the arbitration. You're not accepting Muawiyah as the Khalifa. So we are, you know, we are parting from you. We don't believe you. Because there is no hukum but the hukum of Allah, but the hukum of the Quran which we agreed upon. So you're going against the arbitration which you yourself promised. And that obviously begins the third battle of Imam Ali alayhi salam right after that, which is Nahrawan, which is the battle with the Khawarij. They became very powerful. They were very, you know, pious people who respected the outward ahkam very strongly, because they say that no, yes, when the Quran is on the spears, we have to respect. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "I know, you know, this is a political move, and he will not adhere to the Quran," and which they did clearly in the arbitration. It was clear. So, inshallah, I think from tomorrow we'll look at that, and then the events that unfolded for Karbala to take place the day after, which will be the last ninth night, inshallah. Any questions or anything that you want to add?